The Parable of the Sower is power-packed with vital spiritual truths and secrets of the kingdom. But in our day, this parable has too often been distorted to protect certain doctrinal beliefs to the harm of souls. You're encouraged to carefully follow along with your Bible and verify everything for yourself to see what Brother Dan has for us today. Also, remember to tell others about evangelicaloutreach.org, a non-compromise gospel-preaching Christian ministry.
The parable of the sower is one of the very first parables Jesus ever taught. In it, the Lord mentioned the four different kinds of hearts of man that are exposed to the Word of God. Their response to hearing God's Word was dependent upon their choice, which reflected their own heart. With that in mind, all who are listening to the Word of God at this moment are one of the four types of people as shown in the parable of the sower and which we are going to study today. This should prove to be a most interesting study for you. Also, because of all the false teachings in our day, we must compare scripture with scripture to get the true meaning of this parable, even though Jesus gave us the correct meaning. The parable of the sower has been horribly twisted and mangled to protect doctrinal lies and religious fantasies. I'll be more precise with this later in this teaching. The parable of the sower is found in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 is almost always skipped over by the popular teachers of our day, so let's go there and find out why they make a point of avoiding that account. Here's the parable of the sower. It's short and sweet, only 5 verses long. Luke chapter 8, 4 through 8, the Bible says, "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." That's all there is to the parable of the sower. Very short, but loaded with vital truths for Christians to know, as you will see. Before we continue, note the original audience consisted of a large crowd of people besides the disciples, which is related to the next two verses. That's Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." So Jesus taught that parables reveal the secrets of the kingdom to his disciples, the Christians, but conceal those same secrets of the kingdom from the non-Christians. The unbelievers hear the words, but don't understand the important meaning. That is intentionally done by God, who wants all people to be saved. Now imagine that. According to the correct meaning of the parable of the sower, according to Jesus himself, Luke chapter 8, 11 through 15. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So let's review. Jesus just said there's a sower or type of spiritual farmer spreading God's word around. That person is the obedient Christian getting the word of God out to everyone he can. The seed there is the word of God itself. Elsewhere, the word of God is likened unto water, Ephesians 5:26, spiritual food, Matthew 4:4, and more specifically, to both milk and solid food in Hebrews 5:12-14. In Jeremiah, the word of God is likened unto fire and a hammer in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. But again, in this parable, it is a seed, which alone can bring forth spiritual life. There is nothing ever anything wrong with the seed. It always brings the potential of salvation and spiritual fruit with it. Peter wrote, 1 Peter 1:23, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." In our dark day, many church leaders aren't even preaching the word and therefore can't produce the spiritual results that only the seed can bring forth as shown in this parable. Far too often, we have to get the truth for ourselves by going directly to the Bible. Let's look at the four types of people in the parable. Type A, as shown in Luke chapter 8, verse 12. That verse says, "Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved." That type of person never believes and gets saved, even though he has heard the word of God. He is the never saved to begin with person. The seed does not yield plant life, signifying no spiritual life ever from the seed. Nothing happened because the person didn't believe and get saved. In that verse, the devil was mentioned. The devil fears the word of God and takes it away from the heart of such an unbeliever so he can't come to salvation. Awesome thought. The devil was definitely trying to hinder people from getting saved. Remember that. When God's word is disseminated, there are all types of spiritual activity and great spiritual potential that occurs. People can be changed, and that's why the devil battles preachers the way he does to stop the word in the first place. But if he can't do that, he then will do all he can to interfere with the people who heard it. So let's move on to type B person. Luke chapter 8 verse 13 speaks of type B person. It says, "Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away." Notice that last part again. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. Unlike type A person who never believed and got saved, type B person did believe for a while. Remember that. He did believe. The same Greek word is found in both Luke 8:12 and Luke 8:13 for the word believe. What the first person didn't do, the second type did do, and he came to salvation. Calvinists say sometimes, and only sometimes, if a professor of salvation doesn't stand under persecution, he's a false convert. At least that's how they wrongly deal with this type of person, rather than just teach what Jesus taught. The truth is, type B person does believe, unlike type A, who never got saved. But he only believes until tested with adversity. What turns this believer into a non-believer is persecution over the word of God. That is when he falls away. Christians need to know that persecution for godly living is a test, one in which can be fatal or yield a great reward for enduring the persecution. So what is a spiritual test? In the parable of the sower, it's persecution for the word's sake. A true believer can cease believing based on Jesus' teaching. Remember that about saving faith. Such a person that does fall away is not a false convert with a spurious faith, but a person who died spiritually and didn't continue in the faith. He was scandalized by persecution, as true disciples can be, as shown multiple times in Matthew chapter 18. When he fell away, the plant produced by the word withered. In other words, the person ceases to be a Christian because he stops having saving faith. He dies spiritually, and this especially happens to new Christians because it says it happens quickly. Unlike what some say about the new Christian, please know the new Christian is in mortal danger after his salvation. There is no special allowances for him, according to Jesus' teaching. Persecution can be deadly to him too. That basic truth is most destructive to eternal security and the once saved, always saved doctrine. A true believer can become an unbeliever. He can lose his faith over persecution, and that happens to one out of four types of people who hear the word of God according to the Lord Jesus. Fall away in Luke 8:13 is the same Greek word as found in 1 Timothy 4:1. The Bible says, "The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith or depart from the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." That is what happened to type B person in the parable of the sower. He departed from the Christian faith. He stopped believing and he stopped following Jesus. He stopped doing the will of God and died spiritually. He had life in him, but the spiritual life ceased to exist as shown by the plant withering. In other words, he lost his salvation and got back on the road to hell again. Besides Luke 8:13, which shows a believer can stop believing, we also have 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20. It says, "Holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." Paul knew the same horrible thing that happened to Hymenaeus and Alexander could happen to Timothy, who had a saving faith. Paul never said Hymenaeus and Alexander were false converts. Instead, he said they were shipwrecks of the faith. The word picture of a ship that is wrecked is a person who once had saving faith that functioned, but afterwards was destroyed. That can happen to a saving faith. But that's not all. Referring to Hymenaeus and Philetus, we read, "Who have wandered away from the truth, they say the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some." So both men wandered away from the truth of God, and by their false teachings were destroying the faith of some Christians. Paul felt Timothy needed to know that and be warned. Then we also have another passage substantiating Luke 8:13, and this one's found in Romans. It's Romans 11:19-23. It says, "You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Repeatedly, the Word of God shows a true believer can stop believing, as in Luke 8:13. With that bit of truth, it is now clear why the eternal security or once saved, always saved teachers avoid Luke chapter 8 when teaching on the parable of the sower. They are apex predators who are always trying to protect their sinister doctrine, which Luke chapter 8 verse 13 demolishes. Furthermore, to learn that we can know a child of God from a child of the devil is also basic truth. Election is not secret like false teachers want us to believe regarding false converts. 1 John 3:10 says, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." So don't be misled. While it is true that only God can see the heart, it is not true that we can't tell, according to Scripture, a child of the devil from the child of God. We can by their present tense behavior, as shown by those scriptures. James also wrote, "I will show you my faith by what I do." James chapter 2, verse 18. Very clear. Yet another clear passage, also proving we can know those who are unsaved, is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Anyone listed there in that passage is unrighteous and in need of salvation, though he may have had salvation in the past. Read it for yourself, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Another bit of truth about type B person in the parable of the sower is that he received the word of God, the same as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 who was saved. That detail, however, is mentioned in Acts chapter 11. Referring to Cornelius the centurion and his household, we read Acts chapter 11 verse 1, "The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God." So clearly, it is wrong to teach type B person is a false convert. Jesus taught the plants withered when they fell away. If they withered, they previously had life in them, which is impossible if such were merely false converts as Calvinists wrongly teach. Luke 8:6 says, "Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture." The plants withered or were scorched to death, which was brought on by adversity.
Without question, the Christian is living in a hostile spiritual environment with many possible lethal dangers. They can range from persecution to life's worries, riches, and pleasures, which can cause some Christians to fall away and others to be unfruitful. We are in a very intense warfare, and the Christian must stand under persecution and bring forth fruit. It is a salvation issue and nothing less. You can contact Evangelical Outreach by writing in to P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Now, let's return to Brother Dan.
Let's move on to type C person. Type C is also taught as a false convert. Listen to Greg Laurie himself comment on this type of person.
They reveal themselves as a person who never really committed themselves to Christ at all.
As you just heard, Greg Laurie said, type C person in the parable of the sower never committed themselves to Christ at all. That too was wrong. Again, just as with type B person in the parable, type C person had plant life from the seed, the word of God. If life is generated from the word, it is spiritual life, which happens at the point of salvation. Jesus taught, Luke 8:14, "The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and do not mature." So with this type of person, persecution doesn't take him out, but the quote-unquote thorns stop him from being fruitful. He had the potential of being fruitful, but it didn't occur because he was choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. That, too, can be equally deadly. Christians must not allow themselves to be overwhelmed by such. God wants fruit, and that is actually a salvation issue, just like enduring through persecution to the end for salvation, as Matthew 10:22 says. So fruitfulness is a salvation issue and nothing less. Jesus taught about the Father, John chapter 15, verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The God of the Bible cuts people away from Jesus, the vine, over unfruitfulness. Remember that. Furthermore, we have the same concept in Luke chapter 13, 6 through 9. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it take up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down." Folks, if the fruit tree is cut down, it dies. It ceases to have life in it. Then we have another passage teaching the same. Matthew 7, 19. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Jesus taught the same truth about fruitfulness for final salvation in the parable of the talents, with the man given one talent. To summarize, from Matthew 25, 24 through 29, the man with one talent was afraid, went out, and hid his talent in the ground. Jesus called him wicked and lazy because he brought forth no fruit or gain with his talent. Then Jesus said he should have at least gotten interest from the bank for his talent. God took his talent back and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. Then we read this in verse 30. It's Matthew 25, 30. "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That proves the final destination of the man who had the potential of fruitfulness and entrusted with the talent from the Lord was not a paradise heaven. Matthew 25:30 describes the fiery furnace, especially when compared to Matthew 13:41 and 42. That passage says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So the point has been made. It is explicitly clear that fruitfulness is a salvation issue according to the Lord Jesus. And by the way, believe it or not, Charles Stanley is known by almost every professing Christian, teaches the weeping and gnashing of teeth in outer darkness is actually in heaven as he tries to save the teaching of eternal security by being irrational about the person mentioned in Matthew chapter 25, verse 30. We have an important page on Charles Stanley on evangelicaloutreach.org. Check it out for yourself if you want more information. Last but not least, type D person is the fourth and final person mentioned in the parable of the sower. Jesus said, Luke 8:15, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." To retain the word of God actually means to keep in memory. That is a primary reason to memorize scripture. You can also keep God's word in your mind by meditating in scripture. Note the following scripture, which also mentions obeying the word of God for spiritual insight and understanding. Psalm 119, 99 and 100. "For I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts." Meditating in God's word mixed with perseverance, and you have the formula for fruitfulness, which is the same as Psalm 1. This is Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Be sure to remember this. What is abundantly in your heart is a vital key. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and our behavior is influenced for the good or bad based on what we dwell on. This passage refers to our words being shaped by what is in our heart. Matthew chapter 12, 34 and 35. "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." And according to Romans chapter 8, verse 5, this passage speaks about behavior and how to change it for the good. Listen to this. "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." That is how you retain the Word of God and have your mind set on what the Spirit desires, so that you can then live in accordance with the Spirit in obedience. Christians need to know that they themselves must guard against the danger of persecution as well as anything else that can interfere with our being fruitful. We must endure and we must be fruitful for salvation's sake. The parable of the sower tragically shows how many start the Christian race but fall away and or are unfruitful after beginning. Type D person endures the persecution associated with following Jesus in a sinful world and is not distracted by the cares of this life to where he becomes unfruitful. That is what we Christians must accomplish, but many will not and don't even know they have to. Your example can't be to follow a church member who might be unfruitful himself, but instead the people exalted in the New Testament. We sometimes hear in our day of another person who has a quote-unquote good heart or a heart of gold. Jesus said, a person with a noble and good heart is a person who hears the word of God, keeps it in memory, and by persevering produce a crop. That is the person with a good heart, according to the Lord Jesus. Type D person brings forth fruit, 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. That is what was accomplished through God by first hearing God's word. He wasn't predestined to do that. He retained the word for himself and he persevered. In summary, types B, C, and D all had plants spring up signifying life from the seed, unlike type A. All three of the latter had spiritual life for at least a little while, which came from the Word of God. They all had the same potential for continued life and fruitfulness. Type D person endures past the troubles and persecutions caused by the Word and is not distracted from being fruitful by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. He is fruitful because he keeps in memory the Word of God and perseveres through adversity, and adversity surely comes to his way to derail him. In other words, type D person has the courage needed to stand up and endure persecutions for godly living, and he also kept in mind the word of God and brought forth fruit by perseverance. Without question, all Christians will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So how could teachers be so wrong about the clear meaning of the parable, especially after Jesus gave the meaning?
They reveal themselves as a person who never really committed themselves to Christ at all.
Only one possibility exists. They don't have ears to hear, even though they are popular. Popular teachers of our day became popular because they are telling people, sinful people, what they want to hear rather than what the Bible actually teaches. Too many interpret the parable in light of their heretical once saved, always saved doctrine rather than receiving the apparent meaning and interpretation that Jesus gave to it. And another point to remember is Luke 8:10. Again, this is about the secrets of the kingdom only being given to the saved. Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Persecution is a test which we must pass to continue to have spiritual life and salvation. One of the key verses to remember from this parable is Luke chapter 8 verse 13. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. Jesus taught some believers stop believing. That is, they only believe for a while. They fall away when the plant dies and their faith is destroyed. Again, it's the same Greek word for fall away in Luke 8:13 as it is in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So the ones in Luke chapter 8 verse 13 departed from the Christian faith, which makes sense because they stopped believing. Similarly, we have Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Again, the same Greek word as in Luke 8:13 and 1 Timothy 4:1 is found in Hebrews 3:12 and translated turns away. That further helps to clarify Luke 8:13. Hebrews 3:12 leads up to the next couple verses. That's Hebrews 3:13 and 14. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We've come to share in Christ if we hold firm to the end the confidence we had at first. How can you depart from the faith or turn away from the living God if you were never in the faith with the living God before that? You can't. It's impossible. Also remember this, a different Greek word describing what happened to type B person is found in Mark chapter 4 verse 17. There it says, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The Greek word there is scandalizo, and we get the term scandalized from it. It is also found in John 16:1. Jesus said, all this I told you so that you will not go astray or be scandalized or offended. That was spoken to the disciples, and the context shows the preventative for falling away is shown to be knowing we will be persecuted and we must continue to testify about Jesus. John 15:20 says, remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. Then John 15:26-27 says, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So when you acknowledge Jesus before men, Jesus acknowledges you before the Father. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. The benefit of that is not revealed in Scripture, but surely it has to be great. So keep acknowledging Jesus before men and don't be silenced. It's for your sake and not just for the lost who would hear you preaching the word. Such knowledge about persecution and testifying will prevent the Christian from falling away like type B in the parable of the sower. But there's even more. In Revelation 2:10, Jesus said, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now, Jesus tells the ones already saved they will have to be faithful to the point of death to get the crown of life and not be hurt by the lake of fire. One out of four types of people who hear the word of God will be an overcoming, fruitful Christian in the end. That person withstood persecution and the thorns and brings forth fruit, which all began by hearing the word of God. It takes courage to be a Christian. You must be able to stand alone or you will surely be swept away. And it can happen quickly, especially to new Christians who have limited knowledge. Persecution comes to all Christians at various times. No exception. New converts need this information so they won't fall away. Remember also that persecution comes in various forms, including hidden and subtle ways at times. Persecution isn't only being beat bloody, imprisoned, or martyred. Jesus taught, Luke chapter 6, 22 and 23, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. The parable of the sower has important truths related to evangelism, the Christian life in general, potentially deadly things we must deal with in the Christian life, the malicious interest of the devil, and that God wants fruit from us, and that God also hides the secrets of the kingdom from the unsaved and only reveals them to Christians. According to the parable of the sower, only one out of four types of people who hear the word of God actually succeed. Three out of the four types fail. Type A person never believed and got saved, or they fell away because of persecution, or they became unfruitful due to being choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Hard is the road to life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:13-14. All four types hear the word, but just hearing the word isn't enough in itself. It depends on what you do with the word. It's your choice to reject or receive it. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Christians being hated because of Jesus is typical. You are not unique. It has been like that for thousands of years. It is a salvation issue to endure hatred to the end according to Jesus, but not all do that. You must be different and endure and be fruitful to enter God's kingdom in the end.
Evangelical Outreach has a detailed 801-page book on the subject of the believer's security entitled The Believer's Conditional Security. This book can be yours for only $19.50 with free postage for one softback book in the USA. Send your check or money order into Evangelical Outreach, P.O. Box 265, Washington, Pennsylvania, 15301. Additional free related materials will be sent with your order.